sport now with our correspondent Sam Ackerman. Kia ora, Sam.
Kia ora, Lynn.
A terribly sad week for New Zealand rugby and for those who knew and loved Sean Wainui. A lot of people going by newspaper reports.
Yeah, he's soon left a mark. There's no question. At only 25 years of age, a career in the top level for about 5 or 6 years. He's managed to play for a whole bunch of franchises and provincial teams. He's made his way as high as the Māori All Blacks as well. But it's been a devastating week to lose somebody who is as loved as he was. For those who didn't know much about Sean Wainui as a player, he had a good bit of pace to him. He was certainly a bit of a character. He was very easily recognisable. He lives down this way, and I'd seen him around the traps a couple of times with the undershaven hair and the long dreads together. You can't miss him. And he has this. And I know it's really overused when people have passed on, but there certainly was this sense of a mana about him. There's something special about the guy in that sense. But everyone he played with seems to have nothing but wonderful things to say about him. Right throughout his career, he grabbed 5 tries playing for the Chiefs and Super Rugby Aotearoa, and everybody thought it was a wicked feat for a guy of his stature. Didn't make quite at the All Black level, but he certainly was always comfortable in a Super Rugby and competing against players of that level too. So it's his death was the sole occupant in a 1-car crash at McLaren Falls Park, and it's not too far away from where I speak to you now. And it's it's a hard one to get your head around and imagine, you know, what his family and is going through. But the tributes have been extraordinary. New Zealand Rugby and the Chiefs as well both referred to him as one of the tallest totara trees in New Zealand Rugby. Now, that's the same terminology they used for the passing of someone like Sir Colin Mead. So that shows the steady he's held within the rugby community. We've seen his death receive a lot of tributes and reaction from people, and it brought Cody Taylor to tears. Needing to speak about this on tour with the All Blacks, it's an emotional time for anyone who knew him. Cody played with him at the Crusaders, so it's they were told the All Blacks that anyone in the squad who's struggling can sit out this weekend's game if they're struggling with the passing of Sean. And I think one of the things that hits hardest is he was such a renowned, devoted dad, a couple of young children, and one of the, you know, the videos that went viral earlier this year of him teaching his youngest the haka was you can't watch that getting a little smile in your face, and obviously now a little tear in your eye as you think about it. There's been a lot of tributes paid, but also respect shown. I think the Give a Little page last I saw yesterday had reached over $230,000 for raising funds to support his whānau. And his Bay of Plenty team, who he's from the area, but he's only just got back to playing for the Bay after spending a fair bit of his career at Taranaki. They take on Northland here in Tauranga on Sunday, and it'll definitely be an emotional scene, no question. So he's left a big hole, and it's a hard one for the rugby community to take, Lynn.
I'm sure the All Blacks, when they next play, will be playing for Sean also. What's the latest with the All Blacks in terms of the captain, because we seem to have a few captains.
Well, now you can look at that two ways. One, it's a little bit, it's been chopped and changed for reason, be it injury or absentee through paternity leave or just being able to get through MIQ. All those things play a part. But yes, there have been a few captains this year, but right now for the test against the States, they're playing in the United States this weekend. This game will be it's in DC, it is in Washington DC. This game will be captained by Sam Whitelock, and Sam Kane, who is the captain, if you like, of the Ian Foster era, making his way back playing for King Country the other week. He's now over in the States. He is on the bench, so he will get his first taste of All Black rugby. But there's some conjecture over whether, if he's the All Black captain, would you expect an All Black captain to come in and, as we've been told, will not be captain for the rest of the tour. He'll be focusing on his rugby. You're kind of the captain or you're not. He is certainly in a contested position for that number 7 jersey, Ardie Savia, who is another captain option. He's the vice captain on this tour. Will be pushing pretty hard to hold that spot too. So they can both coexist in a loose forward trio, absolutely. But they both like that jersey best and can be pretty dynamic there. So it's a pretty unusual situation for Sam Kane. I think that the smart thing to do would be to take the captaincy burden off him full time. So Sam Kane was our captain for sure, but we, you know, given the stage he's at with his career and its injuries, because one more major injury around his neck could be the end of it for him, we're letting Sam Kane be a player. We haven't ruled out captaincy in the future, that type of thing, but they've left it a little bit open, a little bit ambiguous, but they do have a lot of leaders, and I don't think anyone's upset by Sam Whitelock being the captain, because he is, I think for many people, was the first choice ahead of Sam Kane as well back when that initial decision was made. So a lot of good leadership options, chopping and changing. And speaking of chopping and changing, lots of changes made for this test against the US. Not many starters what you'd imagine be the top choice 15, Leonard, getting a run. Richie Moanga is, Sam Whitelock is, and outside of that, you can potentially contest most of those other positions. There's a whole heap of players who aren't playing this game, but there is also some talent, big names on the bench like TJ Perenara, Beauden Barrett. Beauden Barrett's got more experience. If you take Sam Whitelock out of it, he's got more experience himself than the entire forward pack. So that shows you there's a fair bit of fresh blood. But in the States, they're playing the All Blacks. Respectfully to their knowledge of the All Blacks, they're not going to be devastated about the positional changes, because for them, they just know the All Blacks are this mighty team. They're not there to see Beauden Barrett specifically. They didn't come in the hope that Cody Taylor would be throwing in the line out. So they'll just be enjoying watching the world-famous rugby team play. So I think it's a smart enough move, and to start this tour to give everybody who didn't play in the Australian League some kind of a run makes sense. And the All Blacks should put a cricket score on them again. They should be far too strong for this United States team.
To the T20 Cricket World Cup, I think it became a bit more interesting waking up this morning to the news that Scotland, for the first time, has made it through to the next round. I mean, a huge achievement for them.
Yeah, it's great. It's fantastic. And this is why, for all the knockers of T20, and I am sure in enough patches have been one of dismissed it as hit and giggle, as we originally called it, and the like. The reason that it was created and brought to the world stage is it opened so many more avenues. Now, Scotland getting a chance to be able to beat and get into major tournaments and say the 50-over game and the test arena, far less difficult than T20. It offers teams so much more opportunity. Teams like Bangladesh, for example, just won a series against Australia, and that's so much more within reach with this format, where all it takes is one little run of momentum or things can change pretty dramatically. It's pretty unpredictable, and it will be a really interesting tournament once we get to the big guns playing in the UAE. That's the likes of the Black Caps, Australia, England, India, and that will be kicking off next week. New Zealand's first game is against Pakistan in the early hours of Wednesday morning our time, and of course we recently just pulled out the last minute with Pakistan, and they were not happy, so there should be a fair bit of feeling within that. Kane Williamson, as we know, is such a key to this side, not just as captain, but arguably the best batsman New Zealand's produced. So he's got a bit of a niggling elbow injury, which will definitely come into play during this process. How, when, and what? How many games he misses and when? It's hard to say, but there's some good batting firepower in there, like Devin Conway, Martin Kuptill, Glenn Phillips. I like it, but the bowlers for me, Lynn, are really what's going to be won and lost by. Just when I look at that squad, it seems so dominated by them. Spin will be more of an option here than it is, say, at home, so you can expect to see both Mitch Santner and Ish Sodhi, rather than competing for a spot, getting spots together, and I think they'll see the odd all-rounder spot like Jimmy Neesham be quite important. Glenn Phillips as well has been bowling a little bit of spinners options as well, so they're working on getting real depth, because you don't get really long runs in T20 to bowl. You need to come in, make an impact, and just hopefully don't get bashed. Of course, our pace options are outstanding. I know some people are a little bit concerned that the warm-up games hasn't gone well.
Your bad dress rehearsal, great opening night, do you think, Sam?
Yeah, I can't think of a single thing less consequential in the world of cricket than a T20 warm-up game, Lynn. It really is. That could not matter less. So they've got in position to do run chases and get down to final over decisions in a loss to Australia. That's helpful. Those are the type of situations. As you say, the dress rehearsal is really about making sure you're ready for opening night, and let's hope the Black Caps are ready to nail this, because we know that New Zealand is now world elite. They've been in the final of the last two 50-over World Cups. They are the Test world champions. I'll never get sick of saying that. So while this is our weakest format as a nation, if New Zealand can go well here and get themselves into a strong position to have a crack at a final, then I don't think anyone can argue that we are the powerhouse of world cricket. How good would that be?
It would be fantastic. Fingers crossed. Look, we just had a big announcement today, of course, about the way forward, life away from elimination and under the red, orange and green traffic light system and vaccination certificates much talked about. This is going to be something that our sports teams are going to have to think on as they are in Australia.
Yeah, there are the large percentage, of course, of athletes are vaccinated or double vaxxed or whatever they need to be, usually in line with whatever they feel they need to push their career forward. But, of course, there are, of course, some who remain in the unvaccinated category. So across the Tasman, the two big winter codes there are the Rugby League, the NRL, and the Aussie Rules, which is the AFL. The NRLs, both of them on the same day yesterday, had an announcement about what their future was with this. Now, the AFL came out strong. They said it's mandatory for all players in the men and women's competition to be vaccinated. And they set up a whole range of different options to deal with players. If they are not vaccinated, it goes from staying on the roster or going in the inactive part where they can replace them in the squad but still get paid up to or from, I should say, 25% of their contract, all the way through to the potential of firing them and deregistering them, and that's them done. So they've taken a hard stance. The NRL, less so. They have now said that they will not make vaccinations mandatory. They are encouraging it, but do not feel comfortable making it a mandatory decision what somebody does with their own body. So there will certainly be restrictions on those who are unvaccinated. They, you know, presumably they'll still need to provide, need to provide negative tests along the way. So that will be the testing that they've been doing anyway. But you can imagine that if the central government takes that decision away, then that will be that. But certainly there will be some regions they can't travel to, and that puts a lot of imposition on the employer. So it will be case by case. But yeah, as it stands, the NRL is not enforcing vaccinations for their players.
We've been looking at the players, Sam, but also, of course, this is going to be an issue for those wanting to go and see a game. And the Prime Minister just this morning saying people who are not double vaccinated will miss out on doing things that they love. And for many, I reckon that live sports events, big sports events, will be on that list. So it's going to be quite something, isn't it, for our sporting bodies to get their heads around this?
Yeah, and then look, that looks like it as it comes from that level. It takes the pressure off the sporting bodies. I'm talking about live sport where you go pay and you sit in a seat in the stadium. Obviously, I think there's always the club football and the like where there are different rules and different. It's not at that major event level, but certainly if you want to go see live sport, the pressure is now no longer on. Say Eden Park or the Union or whoever it is that is putting on events, they aren't now decided to have to make that decision themselves. That looks like it's coming from the government. It was made relatively clear by
They still have to police it, though, Sam. That's a difficulty, isn't it? I mean, we've already had supermarkets and bus drivers struggling with this sort of thing, with masks, for heaven's sake.
Listen, I'm really interested to see where they land with the responsibility on this. Will they, if there's an example of somebody getting in unvaccinated, do they fine the organisation to let them in? It's like you don't punish the underage drinker in a bar to the level that you do the person that served them, right? So I wonder where that responsibility is going to sit. There is the ability to scan and view and stop it happening. The technology required, it'd be interesting to see what it will be, but it's going to slow down the entry process. It's going to add to a lot of dramas and potential cost to events along the way, but hopefully there's something from the government that's going to back them up for that, because I don't think they should be bearing the brunt of a government mandate like that.
Sam, thank you so much. Great talking to you. Sam Ackerman is our sports correspondent.